Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Milton Berle said, if opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest whose opportunities come from floors. Today's Playmakers company has earned numerous awards, such as the prestigious Dallas 100 Award 5 times, and was featured in the January 2000 issue of D Magazine and a March 2002 issue of the Dallas Morning News. With us today is a CEO who has locations in 11 cities in both Texas and Oklahoma. This great playmaker is Michael Rossa. Michael is CEO and founder of Rossa Floors. Now, Michael founded Rossa Floors in 1994 and has led the growth of this dynamic company from startup to a position of region-wide dominance serving Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Arkansas. Along the way, Michael and his team have created exciting careers for over 425 people on the payroll and revolutionized the multifamily flooring industry. Based in Carrollton, Texas, Rossa Floors is the leading flooring provider in Texas and Oklahoma, with 11 service locations and hundreds of installation crews. Rossa helps on-site managers remove many of their daily frustrations that come along with running and managing apartments, using its proprietary technology and customer-centric approach, such as opening at 7 a.m., closing at 7 p.m., being open all day on Saturdays, and providing a bold, unheard-of lifetime guarantee with every installation, combined with its now-famous culture of truly caring for people and going above and beyond. Michael became grounded in his basic discipline in problem-solving during his 8 years with the U.S. Army and U.S. Post Office. Well, Michael, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Welcome.
You, as I mentioned, were in the Army and the Post Office, and I want to ask about this because you learned basic discipline and problem solving. How did the Post Office and the Army help?
In many different ways, starting with fundamental principles and having the ability. I guess the Army taught me these disciplines. Growing up, I was full of energy and full of passion, and I was kind of a wild child growing up, but did not have the ability or knowledge on how to harness that energy and channel it for the better.
No real direction.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the Army really gave me the fundamentals of understanding that we need to utilize our skill sets as individuals to work as a team, and we need to utilize our skill sets as individuals to truly care about other people. They gave us a very regimented, systematic process of how to go about organizing your day, organizing your time, organizing your thoughts, so that you could then be better prepared, not only to help yourself and help your family, but most of all to help other people.
We're going to talk about how that applies to your business in just a moment, and it sounds like that was the beginning of how you developed your culture. We were talking before the show started about the Army and the Post Office, and you grew up in the Northeast, and you got to Texas via Killeen. What moved you toward the flooring industry?
Well, people ask me that all the time, and it wasn't anything that moved me towards the flooring organization or towards the flooring industry. It just happened. So as an individual, very young, early 20s, married, one young baby, another baby in the oven, looking to try and survive, be a father, make ends meet, working at the post office, I began to realize that I have to do something different for the long term. And I began listening, actually, to a talk radio show, believe it or not, by a guy named Bruce Williams out of New York City. He had a syndicated talk radio show, and he would field phone calls every single night for 3 hours. And he was kind of a master of everything, and people would call him and ask about their homeowner's insurance or ask about buying a house or ask about starting a business or ask about changing careers or maybe should I get married or should I relocate? And he always asked everyone three questions. What do you do? What do you earn? And how old are you? And so as a very young 20, 21-year-old man, listening to Bruce Williams interview all of these people over a very short period of time, because I was working the night shift at the post office sorting mail. So my job was to sit on a chair for 8 hours and sort through all this mail and prepare these trays of mail for the carriers to then take out the next day. Listening for 3 hours every night, I quickly got exposed to what different people earn at different ages and what their job titles were, which was new information for me. So at the time, I was earning about $13,000 a year, and I thought that was really special, coming from only earning about $4.50 an hour as a mechanic. I quickly realized that there were a lot more people in the world earning more money and doing different things. And so at the end of 8 or 9 months of listening to all of these interviews at night, I surmised that I had to be either a professional athlete, a top attorney at a law firm, a partner at a CPA firm, a surgeon, a business owner, or a salesperson. Now, at age 14, I was kicked out of my house, and I was told never to come back. So I left, and I dropped out of high school and joined the Army later at 17 and a half. Back in the late 70s, early 80s. And so having no college or formal education, I could not even envision owning a company, being a surgeon, being an attorney, being a pro athlete. But this thing, sales, what was that all about? And so I found a relative in Dallas who was running for his grandfather's business, this storm door and window business. He was running this manufacturing facility. And he invited me one day to come and go on a sales call with him to present these storm doors and windows to this couple. And halfway through the call, I kind of jumped in and I began to have dialogue and conversation. And everything really worked out well. And they ended up buying these storm doors and windows, and it was just a wonderful event. And this gentleman who was helping me said, "You are a natural, you should do this." And I said, "Do what?" And so I quickly thereafter began selling door-to-door storm doors around my neighborhood. I would go up to a house that had no storm door, knock on the door and say, "Hey, I see you don't have a storm door." And I would sell them a storm door that I could then go down to my cousin's manufacturing facility and buy it for $50. I'd sell it to them for $75, and then I'd charge them $35 to install it. And I was doing that during the day while I was going to the post office and working at night. And quickly I realized that I enjoyed this wonderful thing called sales. And so then about 3 months later, 12 months into the post office, I decided I should go into sales full time. Married, had my first house. Now we had our second child. And I decided that I would start interviewing. And one of the places that I interviewed for was a company called Interiors That Lease. It was a flooring organization based out of Atlanta, Georgia. They were owned by Shearson Lehman, American Express, back when those guys were partners. And they had owned over, 95 different apartment communities around the United States. And they had this wonderful idea. They should start their own flooring company around the country. And they opened up 40 different businesses at one time over the course of 1 year to support and have a network to install flooring on their own owned multifamily properties. And so they hired me to be a salesperson in Dallas in 1984. So that's how I stumbled into flooring.
There's a quotation that I tell people: when the student is ready, the teacher appears. That energy and that passion you now are able to direct as a salesperson, is that correct?
Absolutely. When I went into my supervisor's office at the post office and told him I was quitting, and he asked me why, and I said, "Because I've got an opportunity to make more money elsewhere, and I need to make more money to be able to support my family." and he asked me how much I was going to start at, it was less than what I was earning at the post office, which was only $13,000 a year. My goodness. And he laughed at me and said, you'll be back, and there won't be any openings, but I'll look forward to having you come back. I said, okay, I'm ready. I don't think I'll be back, but okay. And so I just poured into it. I mean, I just poured all of my heart and all of my soul into devouring every book I could get my eyes on about this thing called sales. I began to learn about Zig Ziglar and Tom Hopkins and Brian Tracy and Dennis Waitley, and I began to write many of these people. And about a year later, Tom Hopkins reached out to me and invited me to come to Arizona to be his guest to attend a three-day sales seminar called Boot Camp. But he invited me to come out several days prior to play golf with him and a guy who I later learned who it was, didn't realize who it was when I was playing golf with him, and it was Earl Nightingale. So it was Tom Hopkins, myself, Earl Nightingale, and was another guest. We played at the Camelback golf course there, right in Scottsdale, and it was an amazing, amazing exposure for me to be around some of these great thinkers of that time.
For those that had never heard of Earl Nightingale, he was one of the dynamic forces of moving self-motivation, positive thinking, success along in the 20th century. You had an opportunity that very few people have ever had. You are now in the flooring business, but you have a niche flooring company. Tell everybody what you actually do, because you referred to when you were talking about getting into sales.
Yeah, today we have an organization that we look at it as we like to remove the daily frustrations of people who run, manage, own, and operate apartment communities, the multifamily area. And that's all I've done for 34 years. It's been apartments, people who own, operate, and manage apartments, from an on-site manager to a leasing agent to a maintenance man to a regional or a district manager to a vice president to a president or to an owner. If you're an absentee owner in Quebec or London or LA or New York, but you've got a portfolio of properties in our service area somewhere in Oklahoma or Texas or Louisiana or Arkansas, you can rely on Rasa Floors being a vendor and a supplier that will provide an extraordinary service that's above and beyond what our competitors provide.
And I want to change what I just said. You're actually not in the flooring business. You're in the customer service business.
Absolutely.
And that's all you're doing for these customers. You just happen to have a product that is flooring.
That's correct.
But
that's exactly
everything
correct.
I've read, it's all taking care of the customer. Your focus is 100% on the customer, which is an interesting concept. Many salespeople don't realize that. I believe that if you're in sales, you're in customer service. If you're in customer service, you're in sales. How did you develop that philosophy?
You know, it just became natural for me because I've always wanted to have my word be my bond. What I say, I want to make certain happens. You know, my brother would always say to me, and I've got three brothers and two sisters, and my oldest brother would always say to me, you know, our name is all we have. It's all we have. And so we don't want to jeopardize our name and our reputation. So when I was working from 1984 to 1994, doing those 10 years and working for two other organizations, those two other companies would always come to me and say, hey, go tell the customer that we can provide their installation and we'll be there before noon. Go tell them that our guys will clean up when they get done. I want you to go out as a salesperson and represent our company and tell them we'll do that Saturday installation. We'll make sure that the guy arrives on time. We'll make sure that they leave the unit looking good. We'll make sure that everything happens so that their move-in with their clients who are coming in with a moving truck from Ohio, for example, won't have any delays in the movement. But the challenge is that didn't happen. The companies I worked for did not actually put the money in their organization. They did not walk the talk. And so after the 10 years, I became very frustrated because my name and my reputation was being jeopardized. And that's what spurred me on to start this organization almost 25 years ago. And the customer service, customer-centric skill sets that you asked me about are all derivative from past negative experiences, past failures, people being upset because I promised X and X didn't happen. So it's a real huge demonstrative thing that we talk about in our organization all the time. Core values, what we stand for, what we won't stand for, what we believe in, what we don't believe in, and how to go about delivering extraordinary customer service. We give all of our people free autonomy to make decisions on the spot to clear the pathway of challenges to solve the client's issue at hand. I don't want our employees to be advocates for Rasa. I want our employees to be advocates for the person on the phone or the person they're in front of that they're helping. So that's just been kind of a natural thing through negative experiences.
A couple of things came to mind as you were saying that. I can see as an employee of yours, they're just going to do it. I'll just do it. I'll take care of it. But it also appears that you started this company because you want to have that control. Not to be a controller, but to take control and do what it takes to take care of your clients. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is we have to weave this in because the first, let's see, I'm in my late 50s today, and all the way up to age 42, I did not have God in our life anywhere, and we did not have God in the business anywhere. For the first half of our business, we did not have any faith in this organization. Today, we have 18, 20 on-staff chaplains. We're a completely biblically run, biblically driven, Jesus-centered organization where we attempt to run it in a godly fashion, and we attempt to give the glory to the Lord at all times. So I have to just make sure I weave that into this because without God, we would not be where we're at. We would not be where we're at. We also believe this is his company, and we're just stewards of it because we're only going to be here on this earth for a flash, for a blink, and we'll be gone. And so we just feel that he's asked us to manage it while we're here for a short period of time, and we're trying to do that as best we can. And we truly, honestly, at a heart level, Steve, believe that. I mean, we really believe that.
Well, that's part of your core values.
Correct.
And when you have core values and they are a part of you, it's not difficult to make a decision. Your decisions are made for you because you know exactly what you have to do. And your focus is, and you're taking that now to, as you said, being customer-centric, it's all about the customer, which leads me to your weekly 3 to 5 minute video, weekly word, floored with grace and truth. So I'd like you to tell people about that and how they can get a hold of that.
Sure. Well, the first thing is if you go to our website, www.rasaflores.com, and just on the landing page, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see a photo of myself and one of our regional director of operations. And you can just enter in right there where it says join us every Monday morning for a weekly word with Michael Rasa. You just enter in your email and click on the subscribe button, and you'll automatically be subscribed. You know, I started that January 1st, 2018, and decided I would do it once a week for all of 2018, and we would create 52 short little weekly messages. And the whole concept originated with the thought process because we've got like 150 W-2 employees and about 325 of our subcontractors, and it's really hard to get everyone to be marching in sync like a Russian army locked in arms with their legs and their arms and everything. Their synchronicity is perfect. It's very difficult to do that in a large organization. Easy to do that with one office and five people. Not so easy with 11 offices and 150 and another 325. So I thought, how is the best way to utilize today's technology to let everyone know on a consistent basis where we stand and what we believe in, and share some stories and some tidbits and some pearls and some philosophies of my heart and my wife's heart, Debbie, so that we can impart to our people, to our tribe, who we are. Now, we have an annual company-wide gathering. We bring everybody to Dallas. That's great. And then we have quarterly gatherings for certain segments of the organization. That's great too, but it's not enough. And so initially I started this weekly word, Floored with Grace and Truth, A, because we want to let people know that we're strong in our faith, and B, we want to communicate to all of our immediate tribe what we are all about. And in the process of that, I said, hey, why not share this with all of our current clients and our future clients? And why not share this with our family and our suppliers and our friends? And why not just post it out there on all of social media for the whole world to see? Why not? I mean, this is who we are. I'm not embarrassed about it, and I'm not ashamed of it. In fact, I feel honored that God has given us the opportunity to steward such. I mean, this is a massive responsibility, and I take it very seriously. So that's why we started that.
You mentioned steward. You mentioned giving back. What advice would you give entrepreneurs, fellow entrepreneurs, either in business right now or some would like to go into it? Because that's how you learned how to become an entrepreneur, by listening to the talk show. So now, how would you give back and offer advice to them should they want to go into business or into sales?
Well, anyone who has a desire or a passion to go into sales or start their own business, I would highly encourage it. There's nothing more fun. There's nothing more challenging. There's nothing more scary and frightening. And there's nothing more rewarding. It's awfully difficult. People often decide that they're going to start their company. I mean, most people who decide to start their own business do it for two reasons. Because they want financial freedom and they want time freedom. And about 98% of everybody that starts their own business for those two reasons becomes slaves to those two very things. They just become slaves to time and slaves to their money. They don't have time freedom and financial freedom. In fact, they're sweating making payroll or sweating paying the bills on a regular basis, and they're working 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that's the first thing I would recommend is that you surround yourself with other business leaders and go have some mentors and coaches and teachers that will open up to you and be open to share with you their failures and their successes. One of the big challenges I see with entrepreneurs is they get stuck in that they feel it has to be my way, and they're not willing to listen to others. They're not willing to be open to other concepts and other ideas. And I think that's a really big part of it's a quality and a trait that all new and existing entrepreneurs need to keep.
Once they understand this, they need to go to your website and, again, subscribe to your weekly word. And they can do that, again, from what website?
www.rasafloors.com, rasafloors.com.
So if you'd like to get an inside look into the mind of Michael Rasa and also understand what it takes to be successful, that's one way to do it. Michael, thank you very much for being on the show. This was exciting and inspirational listening to you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Michael Rasa is a CEO and founder of Rasa Floors. It's great having him on our show. Thank you also for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.